Welcome into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios Overtime. Coming at you for the next 2 hours right here on Fan Run Radio. Jake Miller alongside Josh Stackhouse, Davis Rangy will be joining us momentarily. Let's go ahead and get this out of the way. Baker Mayfield is going to the Carolina Panthers. He has been traded for a, conditional fifth-round pick?
Yeah.
And the Browns are still going to have to pay him a portion of his salary.
It's like $10 million, maybe $14. Because I think they're only paying like – I think Carolina's only going to pay $5 million of it.
Man, that's a lot in quarterbacks. And one you're not even going to have. I mean, that's basically dead money.
It was either that or they just release him and get nothing back. So, I really think – and I think the only reason why Carolina even did the trade is to keep from a bidding war when they do, when he did get released. I think that saves them a bunch of money, honestly, in the end. But, yeah, they would have had to just pay all the money and release him because it's just having – what is that, four quarterbacks with Baker on the roster.
Yeah, I mean, you got Jacoby Brissett and Deshaun Watson. We don't know what's happening there. Baker, of course, and then you got Josh Dobbs.
Yeah, you knew he wasn't going to play a down for the Browns, you know, after all that fiasco. You either stay prideful and swallow your loss and leave, which is what's happening. I mean, both sides are just staying prideful, not apologizing or anything like that. I don't know. I'm fine with it. It's about time.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that they offered the same deal, I think, during the draft for Baker is something I've read on Twitter somewhere.
Oh, really?
Is that, well, I mean, they've been trying to get this trade done, I think, for months. But it's just they Browns wanted a certain amount of money paid. They wanted yada, yada, yada. I really don't think they got as much as they probably wanted out of that contract, you know.
But no, they were never going to.
Yeah, because what – everyone in the league knew you didn't need them. And you weren't going to have him, so he's just dead weight, and eventually you're going to have to release him. So, I'm surprised he didn't go to Seattle.
Baker's been in the league now for what, 4 years?
Shoot, yeah.
So, now he's eligible for the NFL pension.
Oh, really?
You only have to play 4 years to get that pension.
How much is the pension? I guess it depends on how long you play.
I don't know how much it is. I know Terry Fair had mentioned it. You know, when we were on the drive, we were doing a live show out at Jet's Pizza, and that's the first I'd ever heard of it. I didn't realize that you got a pension for playing 4 years in the NFL.
Yeah, I only heard about it like a couple years ago, maybe.
Which I kind of like that.
No, yeah, I mean, it kind of makes sense. I mean, every job kind of like that has a pension. You get, you know, any metro job.
Yeah, I mean.
Government job, you get a pension.
Any government job, you're definitely getting it. You know who's got the weirdest pension plan? Save-A-Lot.
Oh, really?
If you work at Save-A-Lot until you retire, you get an incredible retirement. Granted, you don't make anything
while you're there.
But
when I retire.
Oh, man. Like, I was sitting there. I was like, what in the world? Like, of all companies, this is the company that's going to offer one of the best overtime plans you can get. Not overtime plans, but retirement plans. All righty. 865-546-8200. Your number if you want to get on with us. And let's go right to it. Who we got, Stack?
We got my boy Philly.
One of my favorites. What's up, Phil?
Hey, Jack Snake.
Philly.
How you the boys doing?
Living the dream.
Did I see any fireworks yesterday?
No, Phil, I'm not a big fireworks guy.
Huh.
What do you mean, not a big fireworks guy? You just don't care to go see them? Or?
Well, no, like when they do the training exercises, like when you're in basic training AIT, and then when they send you wherever they want to send you for a training exercise in the military, the whistles and the pops, they get me every time.
I feel that.
So you've already kind of experienced the – I figured don't be in Campbell County, though. You'd be experienced the fireworks.
Well, we're used to, you know, 30-06s and 12-gauge shotguns, Phil. We're not used to those 223s.
Well, yeah. Pretty cool. You know, so Baker Mayfield's going to the Panthers.
That he is.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Well,
I didn't think it would ever happen, man, to be honest. As much as they talked about it and tried to force it down our throats on, like, Twitter and ESPN and stuff, I never really expected it to happen. But I'm glad he found somewhere to play because, I mean, I'm sure he starts over Sam Darnold.
Well, I mean, he took Cleveland to the playoffs.
I love him for that, man. I mean, being a Browns fan, dude, I've waited my entire life to see us win a playoff game, and he got us to the championship game. And, I understand why we got rid of him because he only could take us so far. You know, the team is what really put him on their backs, really. I mean, I feel like our team uplifted his performance in a way.
So you're a Browns fan?
Big Browns fan, man. I mean, my dad's from Cleveland, raised me to be a loser and support a team that's never going to win anything, but I'll always pray to the gods.
It's about like being a Tennessee fan, ain't it, Phil?
Well, there is a parallel, Jimmy coaching shorts.
Yeah, that's true. I will agree with you on there.
He destroyed Tennessee football, and I guess he's trying everything he can destroy the Cleveland Browns. Pretty cool.
He was about to get involved with, what, the Minnesota Timberwolves?
I think so.
He was trying to at one point. He would have killed them, too. Not there's much killing left to do, but.
I don't know, man. He brought us a playoff win, technically, so.
What's the latest on Deshaun Watson? Has he got any more sexual abuse charges coming at him or something?
So the last I heard of that is basically he has 4 civil cases left to settle, which is one is the very first woman that came out and started the whole thing. And then the other 3 are the preceding 3 women after the first lady. And he has yet to settle the civil cases there. The court, his court appearance with the NFL or whatever that is called, I guess it's not a court, but that settled up last week on Tuesday or Wednesday. It was a 3-day thing. And honestly, the news should come out of the ruling here either tomorrow or the next day. It should have been come out like Tuesday is what everybody had said.
Well, it was supposed to, and then they pushed it back.
Yeah. But I'm expecting probably 6 to 8 games. That's what it's sounding like. I don't think the NFL is going to get the year-long suspension they wanted because of all the articles I've read and my family being all Browns fans have gone deep diving is – the NFL really didn't bring anything of fact or evidence to really get him a whole year's suspension. Enough, I don't think, in the judge's mind. But we'll see. I'm expecting 8 games, maybe 6.
So Josh Dobbs is a quarterback now?
I'd love to see it, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be Brissett.
Nah, he's garbage.
Jacoby, I don't know, man. He did good filling in there for Andrew Luck there for a while. I mean, you could have fallen off if you're the Colts there.
He's good for a few games, and then he just starts stinking.
Yeah. I agree. It's like Geno Smith 2.0, maybe. Maybe less than Geno Smith.
Good comparison. But you're like the last show, Barry Bryant and them guys, they're downplaying that offensive lineman going to Miami, Florida, act like it's no big deal. I think it's a huge loss to Tennessee.
It is a big loss. And, I mean, part of the thing with that, Phil, is Sunday night he had taken a picture and put it on social media of him wearing a Smokey shirt. And the rumor going around is he really loved Tennessee. He wanted to come here, but the deal that Miami had in place for him was too good for him and his family to pass up. And, I mean, yeah, it's a big deal. I mean, anytime you get a chance to get a 5-star offensive lineman and there's not that many of them, you got to seize that opportunity and take it. So, yeah, it is a big hit.
Are they going to get that tackle from Georgia later in the week?
Sean Mumarov?
Yeah.
He just got crystal balled to us before his visit. He was a pretty heavy Georgia lean, and right after the visit, he announced his commitment. And from what we're hearing and what we're seeing, it's looking like he's leaning orange.
Well, that's good. And then they're getting Kevin Virginia tomorrow, supposedly, right?
Yes.
Well, that'd be a pretty good week if they get them two. Is there anybody else in the pipeline coming up?
Cameron Seldon's the one that's probably –
that's the one I was talking about for tomorrow.
Samuel and Pimba, that one is weird. That's one of those, it can go either way on that, which he's still got a top 5 listed. I can't remember exactly who they are right off the top of my head, but he's one that we kind of need to get, I feel like.
He's the one from Missouri?
Yeah.
Well, we'll probably need to spend a little money on NIL to get him, you know.
We need to pony up, Phil. I mean, that's...
Bottom line. How the heck can Miami have more money in Tennessee? Don't make no sense, though.
Moneybags Ruiz down there, man. That's like a multi-billionaire.
Yeah, there was a guy. He was a TV lawyer, Phil. Yeah. And he became a billionaire, and that's who's funding pretty much their whole operation.
Yeah, he's.
That's pretty cool. Go down to Miami, about 10,000 people show up for the ball games.
I thought the same thing. I just felt like he could be a I feel like he almost felt more comfortable, I guess, in like a Southern Miami atmosphere, you know, coming from just where he's from and stuff. So I don't know.
Well, Phil, you know what I don't understand about the whole deal with Miami is the fact that their stadium is about 30 minutes outside of campus.
Yeah.
And you go here and you're basically 5 minutes from your dorm to Neyland Stadium or wherever they meet. But, you know, I don't get it. It's the whole aura of the old Orange Bowl being torn down, they should have tried to at least repair that stadium, because that stadium was more suited for the university than Hard Rock Stadium or whatever it is now ever will be.
They want that billionaire build them a stadium on campus.
Well, he might go broke doing that. Not.
He could probably get him a group of people to do that, though, I bet, man.
Well, I mean, there's plenty of talent down there in Miami, but it's funny that they're getting players all over the country. They're doing a better job recruiting around the country than they are in their own backyard.
Yeah, I've noticed that, too. And we mentioned yesterday we had Drew Nicholson and Lowe in here from ATB, and it's one of those deals. They want to be the U again so bad, but their administration isn't about it. Mario Cristobal is, because he was a part of that back in the 80s and 90s. So, I mean, that's what he's trying to build back.
That means, you know what it means. It means cheat, 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 and cheat some more.
Thing is, now you can do what they were doing back then. Now you can get away with it.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
Well, Davis did make a good point yesterday talking about Cristobal. He was an offensive lineman, and he has that connection, I guess, to Francis. And then being up in Oregon, I mean, he was recruiting offensive linemen left and right up there too, having great offensive lines with them. So I can see how he did at least get his foot in the door and be able to drop in that money bag for him to get him to sign. So there's so much at play now in recruiting that it's just, you feel like you got a kid and then, man, somebody can drop in another six-figure salary on him and he's gone. So,
yeah, and one thing that helps Miami is Florida is not that good now, and neither is Florida State.
No, and they're not. And those were three powerhouses in the 90s and even in the early 2000s.
And even as bad as Miami's been, they go to a bowl game about every year anyway, don't they?
They're getting there. Think Manny Diaz might have had a 5-7 year. But, I mean, he's a guy I feel like they fired way too quick, kind of like Florida State did with Willie Taggart when everything that was going on under him was really Jimbo Fisher's fault. And Mike Norvell's still reaping the benefits of that situation.
Well, Mike Norvell may not even make it to Florida State.
No, he might not. And the thing is, and you and I talked about it, Phil, you and I kind of pushed back on old Dubsy over it. But Jimbo Fisher's the reason for everything going on down at Florida State.
Oh, for sure. Same thing Pete Carroll did at USC.
Yeah.
Left them in shambles and with nothing to do but lose.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like Fulmer set it up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He destroyed the football program twice, and then we're just now trying to get out of it.
Well, Phil, and I've said it time and time again, people forget about Fulmer's last recruiting class that he had, and it was the worst in Tennessee history.
Didn't try.
It was 36th in the nation, and it wasn't good in the SEC. It might have been second to last, if not last, that last year.
Well, I'm glad you're putting some stats out there, Jake. All these lovers of, you know, the battle captain that are on the dial at that station, it's kind of perplexing to me. You know what I'm saying?
You know how I feel.
I know how you feel. We'll get out and have a few beverages and talk some sports, you know what?
Oh, sign me up, Coach.
Hey, Phil, it's fried chicken day. We got to get some beer and some fried chicken.
Huh, sounds good. I hope Winchester calls in because, you know, he'll be drunk. See you.
What a call from Phil. All right. 865-546-8200, your number if you want to hop on the show. Who we got now, Stack?
It's our Westchester.
Speak of the devil.
I'm telling you, back-to-back good caller. You know,
and
I'll
Phil
take them
just
all.
Called it. What's up, Westchester?
How we doing, gentlemen?
I'm doing good. That pizza dog looked amazing last night, by the way.
Yeah, all three of them were. They. I'm not claiming I invented anything, but that was pretty tasty. Have you honestly never had one?
I don't think I've ever made, like, pizza hot dogs, but, like, I've made, like, pizza subs and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, I thought you had everything. I thought you were, like, you know, the Forrest Gump to shrimp, or Bubba Gump to shrimp is Jake Miller to pizza. That's what I thought. But.
I've had thin crust, hand-tossed, pan-made, deep dish.
It's only a two-hour show. Let's keep moving.
That's what I said.
Flat bread, pizza rolls, hot pockets. Strombolis, calzones.
So, since we're doing all this crazy, stupid conference realignment stuff, let's look at a system that's so simple and so easy that it it'll never work and it'll never happen.
What you got?
All we got to do is, and preferably semi-geographic would help, but not necessarily, and we'll get to that in a minute. 4 16-team power conference. Each conference is divided into 4 pods of 4. All right? You have 1 permanent pod, and you rotate 1 team from the other 2. 9 conference games.
Right.
You play everybody in your conference in 4 years, which is, you know, the ultimate goal of any college football fan or any college football player. They want to play everybody.
It just makes for better competition.
Yeah.
It does. And guess what we just created? Excuse me. We just created a 16-team playoff because we're going to take the winner of each pod and send them to the playoffs.
Westchester, I don't hate that at all. Matter of fact, I love that idea.
Yeah.
We're gonna cancel. We're going to get rid of the championship games because that frees up a week for the playoffs.
Exactly.
We're going to play two or three weeks. And then we're going to take a Christmas break, and then we're going to play either the last 2 weeks or the final week. And think about the parity that this produces. All you got to do in recruiting is win one pod against 3 other teams. We may end up with the same, you know, Final Four we do every year. You know, it may be the same thing, but at least some of these other teams can go out and say, we made the playoffs. We got a chance.
Well, and that's just like, you know, we mentioned last week, my 32-team playoff. I mean, that conference championship, if you expand the playoff, what does that even matter at this point? It doesn't mean anything. And one of the things that's going to get brought up in Westchester, you can see this too, oh, well, what about the sponsors for these games? What about Dr. Pepper sponsoring the SEC championship? It's like, you know how much more that's going to generate for the networks if they sponsor a college football playoff game instead of the SEC championship or whoever the hell is sponsoring the ACC and Big Ten championships? Just roll that over into your playoffs, and you're going to make more money as a network, as a conference, and you know the disbursements are going to be even better at that point.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's so much football to be played that first weekend. We got to play 8 games that, you know, there's going to be product for these networks that have been carrying these conferences all year to pick up.
There's always product to be picked up, man. And no matter what you do with these conferences or anything like that, you're going to have people that are going to sponsor any and everything.
And, you know, you can use existing bowl sites. You can call them bowl games. You can call them whatever you want to. I think you have to call them bowl games because I don't think there's out of those conferences, I don't think there's enough left. I mean, maybe there is to go to a bowl game if you didn't win your pod. But, I mean, you play every team in 4 years. Yeah, everybody's got a chance to make the playoffs. But it's too simple, and it makes too much sense. And it would really help the Big Ten, or whatever the heck they're going to end up calling themselves, you know, because it wouldn't be such a big deal if they had 2 West Coast schools that they picked up in Arizona or someone else out west, and then that's that pod. You know, I mean, they're only traveling for football for, what, 2 games?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, maybe they got to go to Rutgers, but that's only, you know, 1 week. It's very, very doable. Rutgers.
They just don't bring in a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, the big conversation around bowl games right now that we have is the fact that you've got so many guys sitting out. Because anything outside of the college football playoff, it doesn't matter. Like, nope. Like, we've got to the point where we don't care about those bowl games. Like, Westchester, you can remember, and Stack, you can. Like, back in the early 2000s when Tennessee was going to the Cotton Bowl and stuff like that, you were excited to play in that football game.
Yeah. I remember waking up for the Rose Bowl parade.
Well, you know, that's one good thing that can come out of NIL is the first time somebody puts in their contract that they have to play in a bowl game, it's going to catch on like wildfire.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's actually, I didn't even think about something like that. That's a good point.
You can't deliberately miss.
Yeah, there's no sitting out with NIL probably too. That's a good point. I didn't even think about something like that.
Look at the brain on Westchester.
Yeah, my man's dropping some facts.
Guys, let's move on real quick here. I'm getting really sick and tired of hearing this 10-2 stuff that some people are talking about Tennessee this year. Oh, we're just going to lose to Georgia and Alabama. And we're going to win the rest. We're going to be contending for the SEC East. No, we're not. Grown-up Bobby Hill hasn't proven anything yet. Grown-up Bobby Hill is trying to change the way college football is played at the major level. Well, he was at a real college before. No, he wasn't. He wasn't. He wasn't anywhere near this level before. All right. You know the last person to change the way that they play football at the SEC? Steve Spurrier. The great Steve Spurrier. Pride of Kingsport, Tennessee. The best coach the SEC has seen in, before the Saban era. And let me tell you something. Josh Heupel, he ain't no Steve Spurrier. He can't. I'm not saying he's not going to get it done, but yeah, all these people saying 10-2 and that this guy's the next best thing to Saban, they need to pump the brakes and let him win something, because these are the same people that really like the Derek Dooley hire. These are the same people that were okay with the Butch Jones hire. I mean,
I like the Derek Dooley hire because he was a frat daddy like me.
Who do you think we're going to lose to, though? Like, do you think we're losing the LSU and Florida game?
Yeah, my.
You think we lose to Florida?
Pittsburgh, Florida. Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing about the Pittsburgh game I don't remember if I said this last night or not, but if we somehow win that Pitt game and we get that 3:30 slot, we're not beating Florida. I don't care. I don't care who they roll out at quarterback, and even if their starter gets hurt, I mean, we can't play. There's three things. I said two yesterday. I forgot about the third one. We can't play in the old Georgia Dome. We can't play at 3:30, and we can't play a backup quarterback somehow. You know, I'm still
mad
Westchester. About that.
That's been a curse since 2001.
Game. Yeah,
I remember that when
third string quarterback
when Rohan Davey went down. I was 6 years old, Westchester, and I thought we were about to go to the Rose Bowl. Like, that was the first year that I was able to really pay attention. But I'd already seen the heartbreak from Georgia earlier in the year. I thought we were going. I really did.
I remember getting back. I was with my buddy and his parents down in Atlanta. We drove back that night, and I remember getting back in the car, and his dad said, "Sometimes you walk through roses, and you come out smelling like fecal matter." You know, so I think Florida, we're going to Tennessee a game away between either South Carolina or Kentucky. We're going to lose one of those that we shouldn't, and we're going to be right back where we were. 8-4 is probably the most likely, but 7-5 is definitely on the table. I'll tell you what, if we go 10-2, I might stroke a check to the university as a donation.
But, just send it to Spire.
You know, yeah.
There you go. There you go. Well, no, because I want them to have some money to build the baseball stadium so we can keep our baseball coach. If we don't take some serious steps in that direction, we're going to lose them. But I don't want to get into that again. So I'll get out of the way here. Y'all have a good show.
I appreciate it, Westchester. All right, stay with us. More Overtime, more Fan Run Radio coming up right after this. Welcome back in to the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Overtime is with you. Pleased to be joined by our co-host, Davis Rangy. What's up, man?
What's up, Jake? How y'all doing?
Doing good, man. Talked a little bit about Baker Mayfield and got a couple calls in and found something before the show. We have a preseason top 25 from Sports Illustrated. We'll go from 25 to 1. Number 25. Your Tennessee Volunteers. Chance to make the playoff, 0.0%.
Which is honestly acceptable.
I don't think anybody's expecting a playoff run this year.
No one's expecting. I mean, honestly, look at the top 20 probably.
Unless we backdoor our way into the SEC championship, and then maybe.
Yeah, but I don't see any of the top 15 to 25 teams having a percentage chance. Ever.
Well, this next one's even better.
Yeah, I'm okay with that 0.0. We're not quite there yet.
No.
It's all right.
Number 24, the Mississippi State Bulldogs. Record from last year, same as ours, 7-6. Final 2021 ranking, unranked. Chance to make the college football playoff, 0.1.
Insane. How are they ranked above us?
That's what I'm saying, Stackhouse. Like, how can you put Mississippi State above us?
And then give them a percentage chance. One, they're in the West, so there's no way they're beating Alabama and Texas A&M and all them other schools in the same season. One, they'll probably have a dogfight with Arkansas and Auburn.
And Ole Miss, don't forget about that.
Yeah, I expect them just to lose to Ole Miss, but that's what I mean. Like, who do they beat in the West to even make that chance? I think any West school that's not Alabama, Texas A&M, or Ole Miss, there's just no chance.
No. Number 23, the Oregon Ducks. Record from last year, 10-4, final ranking 22. Chance to make the college football playoff, 0.8. I can agree with that.
I don't mind it. It's a Pac-12.
They're getting the benefit of the doubt from having a good year last year, but we'll see how Dan Lanning does. Not too confident in him yet.
Number 22, this one, I'm kind of shocked about this one. I expect these guys to be a little higher. Baylor, after finishing 12-2 and finishing number 5 in the final polls.
I mean, I'm also with you there, Jake. I think they kind of got short strawed, especially because in 1 year he went from a 2-win team to, in his 1 year coaching, got them a Sugar Bowl victory.
Against a good Ole Miss team.
Yeah, I think they got a short straw, especially playing against Oklahoma last year and stuff like that. I think they're a lot better team than what people think.
Yeah, I'm not liking the Baylor disrespect. It should be a lot higher than that. Maybe 15 at the worst.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
This one's not really a surprise. Wisconsin at 21 after finishing 9-4.
Just stout defenses, man. They always come in with amazing defenses that will just pester your offensive productivity.
Yeah.
But their offense just can never get it together in a game, really, since they lost, what, their running back? Who's that? I guess Melvin Gordon. And then who came in after him? Who's that dude?
Monty Ball.
Yeah, yes. Monty Ball, dude. He's raw.
And then at 20, Pitt. So we're going to have a top 25 matchup.
How are they ranked above us? I mean,
they did win the SEC.
I get that. It's the benefit of the doubt of last season. But when I look at these preseason rankings, I'm looking at the team they have now and where you expect them to finish by the end of the year.
I mean, they got Caden Slovis, and they've lost Jordan Addison and Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, I don't see them as a better team than they were last year, especially if Clemson is going to be better than they were last year. But
no, I mentioned that yesterday when we were going through the predictions about Keaton Slovis. I heard some of y'all laughing, but I don't think he's trash, but he's nowhere near Pickett. I think they're mainly getting the benefit of the doubt from having a great year last year, but they're going to have to prove that ranking.
And number 19, North Carolina, after going 6-7.
God, what?
Overrated.
So, yeah, what? I didn't even see this when we were looking through it earlier, to be honest, Jake. But what have they proved?
They've proved that they can win 6 games. That's about it.
I mean, Gene Chizik's their defensive coordinator. You saw them waste Sam Howell away.
You got a washed-up Mac Brown.
Yeah. That's a weird – making the top 20 as a North Carolina Tar Heel is just insane to me.
And number 18, I'm not really surprised about this. They're – starting right where they left off last year at number 18, Kentucky, after going 10-3. And you're returning what a bunch of people are calling the number one draft pick for next year.
I don't see the Will Levis hype. Sorry.
I think that's a safe place to put them at 18. But also at the same time, you see all this hype in the offseason about Kentucky. I almost expected them to be a little up in the 13 range, you know. But I like them at 18. I think that's fair for them because then you get to watch them just, choke away. Yeah. That's fine with me.
And number 17, Ole Miss, after finishing 11th in the polls last year. Fair?
Yeah, you lose your quarterback. Who'd they bring in?
Jackson Dart.
They got the TCU running back and Zach Evans.
Fair?
It's fair.
It's fair for now. Nothing will make me happier than to see Ole Miss's downfall. But
they lost so much offensive talent last year, man. They didn't really replace it all either. And I don't see their defense being any better under Lane Kiffin either.
Their defense did improve last year from Lane's first year. But I think they're kind of just down there in Oxford expecting Jackson Dart to just stroll in and be the next Matt Corral, but he didn't really blow me away at USC, did he?
None of the USC quarterbacks have in the past 3-4 years, man. All these like supposed like saviors of the Trojans, man, just all falling off the edge of a cliff. And it, I mean,
well, the last one that was any good was John David Booty.
Yeah. If you're not successful in the Pac-12, I don't understand how they expect all these teams to come in the SEC and compete the same level. Like, if they weren't competing in the Pac-12, then what are you competing in the SEC with? I mean, I guess you get better players around you, but I don't see a jump being made the first season.
And number 16, Penn State, after finishing unranked and going 7-6. Very overrated.
I don't know, man. I think after that first, that Indiana loss they lost, they just shut down that whole season, dude. They looked like they didn't care. They kind of came on at the end there and kind of got their groove back. But again, I don't know. I'd probably dropped in back to like 24th, 23rd.
Yeah, they're bringing back Sean Clifford, their quarterback. I think this is his last year finally.
Overrated.
But yeah. They also lost a bunch of offensive production, like their best receiver, Jahan Dotson. So I think mainly like 95% of that.
He carried them late in that season too, especially in that Ohio State game, man. He's just a good receiver.
Yeah, he did. I'm just going to say like 95% of that ranking is just from Sean Clifford returning, nothing else.
All right, stay with us. We're going to give you the top 15 coming up right here on Fan Run Radio. Stay with us. You know Jets Pete. Welcome back. Overtime continues. Let's continue the preseason top 25. Coming in at 15. Michigan State, after finishing 11-2. I mean, Kenneth Walker's gone.
Yeah, man, he was a huge part of their offense, too, man. I mean, without him, they really have no passing game.
But they still got Peyton Thorne.
Yeah. I don't mind it. I don't see them beating Michigan or Ohio State this year. I don't know, man. That's just a hard... So they're all in the same side of the conference, and
yeah,
they just dogfight it out for that spot in the championship game. And I really don't see any of them beating out Ohio State. But at 15, I think that's safe to say that's where they might end up again with an 11-2 season.
Yeah, I think that's fair for now. I'm not quite sure that they'll be in the top 25 once the season ends, but for now, it's okay.
Number 14, Oklahoma State, after finishing 12-2 and ranked 7th in the final polls.
I'm so glad we took their defensive coordinator as a Buckeye fan, man. Jim Knowles is over there now. They lost him. You expect them almost to make a step up because Oklahoma lost Lincoln Riley and replaced them as the main school in Oklahoma. I don't see Oklahoma having that great of a season.
Oh, well, I'm about to make you really mad here in a minute then.
Probably. I mean, I expect them to probably be ranked stupidly like 6th. But... I don't know. I'm okay with that. I could see them having a great year in the Big 12.
They lost their quarterback, didn't they? Something Sanders. He was there forever.
Spencer Sanders.
Spencer Sanders. He's a great quarterback for them. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But like Stackhouse said, with Oklahoma kind of falling off a cliff all of a sudden, it'll be interesting to see how they end up overall in the Big 12.
And then speaking of the Big 12, probably a future member of the Big 12. Utah coming in at 13 after going 10-4. That's about where they ended up last year. They finished 12th, so I mean, it seems about right.
I don't even argue that just because it's the Pac-12 now. I feel like they were a letdown, you know, with that 10-4 ranking or like finishing record.
Yeah.
If it was more of an 11-3, 12-2. I feel like that's a safe 13 spot, but I don't know, man. You could see them have a bad year this year.
Utah's returning starting quarterback, most of their production. I'm expecting them to not have a great season again, and hopefully they kick the crap out of Florida week one.
I hope they go down there and win by at least 2 touchdowns.
I want to see. Do they play USC this year? Let me take a peek at that. Because I'd like to see that game to see where Lincoln Riley is at in the Pac-12 right off the bat. And let's see if they do play. They yeah. play them 10-15, so.
Same day that we play Bama.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty interesting matchup for me just to see, honestly, more and what Lincoln Riley's been up to at USC and seeing if it's all coming together. Because, I mean, they've tried up there.
And number 12, Texas A&M.
Can't argue it. I'm surprised they're not a little bit higher.
Well, they finished unranked.
Yeah, but I mean, that's just, I'm telling you, that's playing in the SEC. And that, I mean, that probably affects their ranking. And, you know, you're battling in the West. You get an Alabama win, but you really don't have anything else. I mean, you won. No, you lost to Ole Miss by 10. You lost three other SEC West games. You have to be more consistent if you're Texas A&M.
Yeah, they've been recruiting their tail off. But without that Alabama win, would they even be ranked this year? I mean,
no, they would have finished 7-5, maybe 6-6.
Yeah, after that win, they just completely fell off and just hit a downslide. I don't know what happened after that game, but yeah, I don't. That's an okay ranking, I guess.
Now here's one that's gonna.
That's why I was just falling back in my chair. I scrolled down.
This one's really gonna get under y'all's skin.
Insanity.
Number 11. Auburn, after going 6-7. You've got Brian Harsin, who allegedly had an affair with one of his assistants. Things are not good down on the plains, and they're going to put them at number 11. I mean, that's ridiculous.
That's insanity. I mean, most everybody in the nation thinks they're going to have the same season they had last year with 6-7 wins.
Yeah, that is insane.
11th?
I hate that.
I almost threw up a little in my mouth. That's just a bad ranking. What? Justify that for me, please, somebody.
Well, here's the next one is even worse.
Oh, my God.
Number 10, LSU under Beauregard Kelly.
God, dude. Just, you know what?
Rankings out?
This is from Sports Illustrated.
I think this is ESPN's, wow. And this is just a Sports Illustrated article over it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Sports Illustrated, ESPN, right? No?
They're different, no.
They are different?
Yeah.
Oh, I just made them think they're the same thing.
But the thing is, it's like, they're basically going off the ESPN FPI.
God, that's so ugly.
I mean, what has LSU done?
Just because Brian Kelly just walked down there? I don't expect a jump in the SEC. What?
He's either about to prove how good of a coach he is or he's about to prove that he's a complete and utter fraud.
It's almost disrespectful to the SEC, these last two rankings of Auburn and LSU being in the 10th and 11th in a way that...
Well, Auburn really has no business being there.
Yeah.
LSU, a first-year head coach, what did he do at Notre Dame that was so special? He didn't do a damn thing.
He choked in every big game he had to have.
Every single game.
Every game. They haven't won a big... What was
they're like us. They haven't won a New Year's Six or a college football playoff game since 2007 when this era started.
That's what it was. That's insanity. I don't know, dude.
He didn't do anything at
Brian
Notre
Kelly
Dame.
Ain't done nothing worth a dang.
And anytime he did get in one of those games, what happened? He got stomped.
Notre Dame's always good. You really didn't prove anything there, but that you could lose big games and clearly not recruit.
Anytime they play an SEC team, you saw what Alabama did to them in the playoff. You saw Georgia for two straight years. Georgia went into their house, kicked their butt, then came back to Athens, kicked their butt again the second year in a row. So I hate this FPI stuff because they gave us ranked number 15 with Pruitt going into his second year based off the FPI. So I take no stock into that.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I agree. That's a terrible 10th, top 10. Get out of here. Why are we 25th then?
I'm so happy to be down here with my family.
Sounding like a Southern Baptist preacher walking out in that basketball game.
Those are two bad takes right there. 11-10. Got to go.
Number 9, a team that went 7-5, Miami.
I just don't get it, dude. What is this jump that they expect first-year coaches to have? What do they expect, man? I mean, yeah, no, not 9.
Well, and we looked at LSU's recruiting before the show. They didn't really do any better than what we did.
Transfers. That's all they brought in. And really, dude, how many did they lose?
They lost a lot.
In the transfer portal, and who did they replace it with? I don't know.
A bunch of three stars?
Miami's also kind of a weird thing to me. Nine? Yeah. They always will let you down, dude. What was that? Who did they play? Alabama game week one or whatever? A couple years ago when they were highly ranked?
They got a...
And then got booted? I mean, booted so bad that we made fun of them for putting on the turnover chain when they were down 45 or so?
Yeah.
Embarrassing. I don't know. It's also a bad take. 9 through 11, I'll probably scratch off my list.
Going off the article real quick, it says the FPI gives the U, which was just 8 combined points from a perfect ACC record, a 28% chance to win his division this season. Well, if we're going off how little points you lost by, I mean, Nebraska lost by, what, like every single game was close that they lost. So I guess you can just put Nebraska into that top 10 also, if that's what we're going off of.
I mean, that's the thing is none of these make any sense. It's the same people making these polls that associate with people like Joe Lunardi who really have no clue what they're talking about.
Yeah. It's just reaching, man. That's reaching.
And this next team, I don't think they're going to finish inside the top 25 at number 8, Oklahoma. Like, I'll go as far as saying they might not finish in the top 25.
That's crazy to think that they just – there's no I don't know, man. How do you say it? Venables, I don't – You lose Lincoln Riley. You lose your two quarterbacks. You replace him with a UCF quarterback and Dylan Gabriel. And Jeff Lebby is an offensive coordinator. I see them maybe losing to Texas. I see them maybe losing to Oklahoma State. I see them maybe losing that Iowa State game because Iowa State always makes them work. In the first year, I'm telling you, it's all these past, what is it, Oklahoma, Miami, LSU, and Auburn. Well, really, LSU, don't include Auburn in this, are all first-year coaches.
Yeah.
I don't see them being able to stabilize what they lost.
I'm going to go out and say that they finish either 9-3 or 8-4 this year, kind of leaning more towards an 8-4 finish. They just lost so much. I don't know how they're going to be able to replace that, especially in the first year. They just kind of scrambled and got Dylan Gabriel. I mean, you're going from Caleb Williams to Dylan Gabriel. I mean, it's –
Yeah, I'd agree. A lot of their wins last year were just off big scrambles by the QB.
Well, y'all ready to get mad again?
Yeah, just keep them coming, dude.
Number 7, a team that finished 5-7, Texas.
Oh, my God. I don't think Quinn Ewers is that good. When they sat C.J. Stroud for that one game up in Ohio State, they put him out there. And he was no better than the way CJ was playing in the first couple games, the one against Oregon. And really, CJ was playing scared, I think, out there those first two weeks. And then you would put in Quinn Ewers, and he's no better. And he was playing a trash team. Like, they put him out there just because it was a team that we should easily smoke. And he really performed no better than CJ Stroud did against Oregon, which is a much better team than he played.
You know what? I kind of like this. They hype him up. Overrank them, and Alabama comes to town. You lose by 50 points.
You're sitting in the 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do enjoy that part of it. I will agree with you there on Davis. I like seeing teams just fumble the bag.
Oh, absolutely. And then these last 6 teams, I mean, they all make sense. Number 6, Michigan. Number 5, Notre Dame. Pretty expected. Clemson with a jump up to number 4 just because they're Clemson. Number 3, Georgia. Number 2, Ohio State. And number 1, Alabama. I don't think there's any argument out of any of us over those.
No.
Maybe Clemson.
Yeah, I'd argue maybe a little bit Clemson because I don't understand what they – I just don't see – I don't see DJ being really that great of a QB in college. I think they're relying on him to have a great second season, but I don't know, man. But other than that – I think any first-year coach in the nation is going to probably be the best is Marcus Freeman up in Notre Dame. I think he's going to have a tremendous year and honestly make Brian Kelly look kind of dumb.
That would be nice. All right, hour number 1 in the books. When we come back, we're going to discuss this a little bit more just because there's so much going on in this preseason top 25 that we found. All right, stay with us. Hour number 1 in the books. Hour number 2 of Overtime coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.
is an important part of your family. And when he or she is ill, you want the best medical care available. The vets and staff at Admiral Vet are ready to provide your pet with cutting-edge veterinary medical care.